The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about them. Then Simeon blessed him and said to his mother, Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to whom all were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's message. Come on up, kids. All right, good morning, good morning. Got a few more coming here. Any of us come? We're going to have to look and see what this is in a second, okay? Good morning, good morning. Good, Ava, we needed some ladies up here. All right, good morning. Good morning. Hey, it's still Christmas time, right? We've probably already gotten all of our presents, but I found one more. Okay, this is a present that's not a toy. It's not something that we get to keep, but it is a powerful reminder of the gift that God gives us. Do you guys want to open up with me? Huh? I mean, it's ready. Okay. All right. Oh, it's not the tissue paper inside. Here it is. Are you ready? Okay, the gift that God gives us is, what's that say? You, and all of you. God gives you as a gift. As part of Christmas, God understands that God sent Jesus into the world as the greatest gift for us. But we can learn from that gift, and we can learn everything Jesus taught us about how to care for other people, and how to love our neighbor. And when we share that with others, we're a gift. You are a gift. And so this Christmas season, as we think about all the gifts that we've been given, all the toys, maybe all the socks, maybe anything else that we've been given, the greatest gift we're given is God's love. And that's shared with us in baptism. When God claimed you, and God said that you are my child, I'm adopting you, and I will never let you go. So even though you have moms and dads out here, you also belong to God. And that is important. Today, Ava's little sister, Daphne, who's nice and quiet over there, we'll see if she stays quiet when I pour water on her. Daphne Cora will be baptized as a child of God today. And we will say, let your light so shine before others, just like all of you as well. Okay? So I know this wasn't the gift that you were expecting, But remember that you are a gift of God, and God has sent Jesus into the world to teach you how to be a gift for others. Think we can remember that? All right, before we go back to our seats, let's say a prayer. I'll say something and you can repeat after me. Good morning, God. Thank you for the gift of your Son, who teaches us how to live. Help us to be gifts, to share your love with all we meet. We love you, God. Amen. All right, thank you all for coming up. You can head back. When we're not doing baptisms, we close, but it's open today. We're going to do baptism. I'm so excited. Okay, I'll see you later. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we made some of those subtle nuances and changes to our worship service back in Advent, I mentioned to the Worship Life Committee that it might be a blessing to have the children's sermon right before the adult sermon, because sometimes that's better than what I'm about to say up here. Today I want to just pick up with what we've just heard, and that is the gift that we see in this Christmas season, the gift that was seen in the temple, and the gift that God continues to share with us each day. I mentioned on Christmas Eve that we always turn to the book of Luke for the Christmas story because it is told in its fullness. It's only told also in Matthew, but even then that's short and to the point and moves on. But Luke gives it all the time from the incarnational proclamations all the way through the preparation and the events and the time after to tell the fullness of the story of Christmas. And that's where we pick up today at the end of Luke chapter 2. The beginning, which we know so well with the encounter in the manger and the shepherds who come to visit. But now it's a few days later. And as was the tradition in Jewish culture, which Mary and Joseph were part of, having been good and faithful Jews, they went to the temple with their firstborn to have him dedicated for purification, to follow the law of Moses. That's the law of the Old Testament that said every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And so that's where our story picks up today, with Mary and Joseph doing their best to remain faithful to all that they've been taught and all that they live by as descendants of the house of David. Now, when they arrive at the temple, not in Nazareth, but in Jerusalem, and when they gather in that place, Simeon is waiting. Simeon is one among who has been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there had been talk for a long time about a Messiah, one who would come and save the people, one who would come in and claim victory for the Jews amidst all those who had oppressed them. But most were expecting a Messiah to be a warrior of strength and of power. What Simeon discovered was that the Messiah was indeed a young child. And so when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple for the purification, as according to the law of the land, Simeon noticed and proclaimed those beautiful words, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen your salvation. There in the little Christ child, there in that little boy, God made man, not even yet man, God made little boy. Christ's presence was fully seen, and Simeon recognized it and shared it with all those who would see it this day. Simeon was well trusted and respected there in the temple. And so as he did these things, people began to turn and notice. And Mary and Joseph were overwhelmed by the attention that they were receiving. But it wasn't just Simeon. It was Anna as well, another woman of age and wisdom who also proclaimed the presence of God there in that child. There in the midst of all of that, the gift was fully received. For the first part of Luke chapter 2 is a reminder to Mary that the gift is received. Everything is done for her purposes, that the shepherds return to the manger and tell her that this is indeed God at work. But now as they make their way from Nazareth to Jerusalem, this is a public proclamation of Jesus' presence in the world. acknowledging the Messiah not just for those who brought him into the world, but for all to see. And with that, something changes. With that, the story begins. The public ministry of Jesus that won't be seen in its fullness for another 30 years is affirmed there in Simeon and Anna's recognition that God is present. My friends, every time that we gather here in our temple, in our house of worship, we affirm that God is present. We come to be in the power of the Holy Spirit, heard in word, heard in the presence of one another, heard in song, and received in the sacraments. And in all that we do when we gather for worship, we are being reminded of the gift of Christ Jesus that is in us, that is in you, just as I told the children a moment ago. God's gift is made known to us. And as Paul so beautifully explained to the Galatians, that gift is a gift that cannot be taken away. We are adopted. We are claimed. We are held onto by God. This is not simply a business transaction, but rather a lifelong claiming, and nothing that can be taken away. We are no longer slaves, as Paul continues to write, but we are heirs. And when we are heirs, something changes. When we are heirs, we are part of the story because we know the gift that we are to receive. We know the lineage that we belong to. We know what it means to be part of the story. And so when Simeon and Anna recognize the full presence of Jesus, the story turns to the next page. What happens now? How is God at work when the world knows that Christ is present? And how is God at work in us? I absolutely love the fact that it worked out that we could baptize Daphne Cora on the same day that we heard this scripture. Because it is a reminder, as Daphne comes forward to the font, to be part of our religious sacramental tradition, and to recognize that that is how God is shared and given to us, that is how God claims us in water and in word, just as Jesus was being claimed in the temple. And in Daphne's claiming, in her adoption into our family of faith, we all play the roles of Simeon and Anna. And we all join in claiming her. We all join in being in part of this story and recognizing that God is at work in us. In just a few moments' time, we'll invite Daphne and her parents and her godparents to come forward, and we'll each share part of a liturgy. They'll present her for baptism. Her sponsors will promise to walk with her in the journey. But you know what, friends? So will you. I want you to hear the answer, the question that you say you'll participate in. First, we turn to the parents, but remember that this is something we all share in. Will you bring your child, Daphne, and all that we've baptized to receive the gift of baptism and to be entrusted with these responsibilities, to live with them among God's faithful people, bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, place in their hands the Holy Scriptures, nurture them in faith and prayer, so that they may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others in the world God made, and work for justice and peace. My friends, the covenant of baptism is outlined here as we know the gift that God gives us. For in baptism, we receive the promise made known through the Holy Spirit that our sins are washed away and we are forgiven of our sins, not just now, but time and time again, and that we receive the gift of everlasting life. That's the covenant that God makes with us. Our response is exactly what I just read just then. That we will work as Sunday school teachers and Bible school leaders to put in their hands Holy Scriptures. That we will create this place of worship opportunities. That we will nurture them in faith by loving and caring for them and sending them to Lutheridge and all that we can do to help them grow in faith. That we will be their Simeons and Annas. That we will cheer them on. That we will encourage Daphne and her big sister Ava and all the kids who were up here today, all the kids who were here earlier this morning and couldn't be here this day, all the kids in middle school, confirmation, trying to figure out who they are, and all the kids yearning to go to the National Youth Gathering this summer in Houston. Not just then, but the ones that we pray for when they go off to college and come back and start new lives in their own families, and on and on and on, up till the point where they're the Simeons and Annas themselves. We are all part of that story. And we all come together to say we do, to promise to take care of one another so that we might grow in faith and let our light shine in the world. Simeon and Anna are present here today in each of you. And sometimes we don't realize how powerful that can be. This past week, amidst all of the joy of this season of being with you, I learned 2 days before Christmas that my Simeon entered the kingdom of God. His name is Charles Wallach. He's a beautiful pastor who baptized me, gave me my first communion, confirmed me, made it to my wedding, showed up at my ordination, and even drove up to South Carolina to participate in the baptism of my firstborn. You all know how this works because your pastors stay forever. And you know the joy of those relationships which last for a very long time. Charlie taught me everything that I knew about living a life of faith. And he modeled it in his own, not just for me, but for thousands of people. And when we know that, and we know that that encouragement makes all the difference in the world, it really matters. I remember as a third grader, waiting just that 1 or 2 more years before I could finally be an acolyte, and hovering around the altar as my parents were getting ready to be the communion assistants on a Sunday morning. And Pastor Wallach could see my energy and my enthusiasm. And he said, "Are you excited about being an acolyte?" And I nodded and said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm excited about you being a pastor." To a third grader. That still sits in my heart. That's my Simeon. But each of you are Simeons too. And you don't have to pick out kids now to go to seminary. But what you do get to do is to encourage them in a life of faith. To remind them that they are children of God, that they are loved not only by the people who came in the car with them, but by every single one of us. And that even if you can't be the one to actually teach Sunday school, you can support those programs. Even if you can't be the one to play with them in Bible school, you can find ways to help. And that is what we do as God's people. We share in that gift because the work of Christmas begins. It doesn't end now. Rather, it starts. One of my favorite preaching bloggers named Caroline Lewis borrowed a poem from Howard Thurman called "The Work of Christmas" and shared it on her blog this week. And I think in the midst of what God calls us to do as the Simeon and Annas of the world, we hear that this week. Howard Thurman's poem, "The Work of Christmas," starts, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the magi go home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart." The work of Christmas begins. The work that my Simeon, Pastor Wallach, did for a lifetime continues. The work that each of those who led you to this place, parents and grandparents and friends and all those who were models of faith, continues in you. We'll be there for Daphne in her journey, for all the children who have come forward, and for all of the children who are just a little bit older, because God has given that gift to you. You, child of God. You. Thanks be to God. Amen.